Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the gift of your name and being given the gift of your kingdom, which is not shakable, where even death for those who die in Christ becomes a passageway to life and a home that none can take away. We thank you, Lord, for this perfect kingdom and this perfect government, which you offer to give to us as a foretaste even this morning, and we pray that we would partake. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I was thinking a little bit about the condition of the culture right now. It's not just our veterans who are struggling with PTSD and the severe anxiety that's often associated with feelings of vulnerability. It's a lot more than our veterans and those who have survived things like foreign wars. I'm seeing it so widespread right now, the experience of anxiety, feeling like life is slipping through your fingers. The dreams that you had dreamed and the hopes that you had had just not coming to fruition, at least not in the way that you really wanted them to. I look at the youth. I didn't know this, but I saw a statistic in the last couple of weeks that says that one out of every four of the younger generation is being diagnosed with a personality disorder. The level of vulnerability, the psychological level of vulnerability is huge right now. And we're shaken, and we are shaking. And we respond in different ways. I mean, some of us respond in just an affliction of anxiety or despair. Others respond with anger, trying to rage against what's happening. A lot of us respond with addiction. And we're not free. We're trapped. And we want desperately the kind of security, the kind of home that Jesus actually came to share with us. We are troubled, but Jesus doesn't want us to be troubled. The world is actually a very troubled culture and environment, but the culture of the kingdom is a kingdom of peace. We can actually live in the reality, in the hope of a peace that is sure and never again shakable, of a place where all the tears will be wiped away. We can actually live in that reality, in that light, in the gift of his Spirit even now. We can bear witness to it even. It's part of what Jesus is saying to the disciples as he said, you will bear witness to that kingdom, the one that isn't going to leave you still shaking or angry or suffering in different ways because of the difficulties of this life. There's a different thing that he's offering to us, and that's why he says it's good that he goes. And that's what's happened. We have that mysterious thing, as we have it represented. We extinguish that paschal candle there at the ascent of our Lord, at the reading of that moment. And to our visible eyes and to our physical touch, it's not the same. I think we'd like to have it the same, but he actually says it's better. It's better because he wants to secure for us a home that actually transcends our trouble. He wants to transform our hearts to live according to that home from above, because the best attempts at home that we try and make here on earth just often are troubled and they fall apart at the seams unless somehow we can root ourselves in him. And then by his grace, redemption, and our cooperation, we begin to enjoy it. Now, this was kind of illustrated for me, the desire of our hearts, the need and the trouble that we're in. I was watching the latest version of the Anne of Green Gables story. And there's a Netflix show on right now that kind of got mixed reviews. If you're a purist of Anne of Green Gables, which I am sort of, it's one of my favorite. I know, I'm a guy, right? I'm a peer. I'm actually admitting that Anne of Green Gables is one of my favorite stories. I never was in the military, so my apologies to my fellow citizens who might not have partaken of the joys that is Anne of Green Gables. But it is truly a great, great story. So I do recommend it even to our men's men. But in that story, it's a story of an orphan. And she loses her parents at a very early age. She doesn't even really remember them as they die of one of those illnesses back in the early 1900s that folks died of. We don't die of it anymore. I can't remember what it is at the moment. And what? Typhoid, thank you. So we've got Anne of Green Gables experts out here. My wife being the foremost, probably. So she's living in really terrible conditions. She's living, first of all, in an orphanage where she is bullied and mocked and disdained by the leadership of that orphanage. Then she's given over to a family that has a ton of children, and she's basically their slave. And she has to work for every little bit of goodness in life. She has to earn it on her own. But it keeps slipping through her fingers. She just can't manage it on her own. And then she gets this wonderful, by a mistake, opportunity to live with a family that might actually love her. It's beautiful. It's in Prince Edward Island, which is beautiful, in a house that's called Green Gables. I mean, it sounds like a fairy, like one of those wonderful fairy tales. And it awakens in her hope, and she begins to imagine, which imagination is one of her strengths. It's how she's survived. She begins to imagine that maybe, really, in real life, she could have a good life, not just one in her imagination. But something really messes with that. She tries really hard to earn their approval so that she can stay, because it was a mistake that she was sent. It was supposed to be a boy. She tries to really earn their approval, and a couple things happen. First of all, she screws it up. She's she's sort of accident prone, and she has a temper, right? So things get sometimes out of control by her own devices. But then there was something that she was accused of that she didn't do. And so life was slipping through her fingers. She sent away. And she's like, everything that I should have known that I could not live this thing that I'd hoped to live and actually be loved in this life. And she's pretty much despairing of that. And then the people that are going to adopt her, Marilla and Matthew Cuthbert, they realize they've made a terrible mistake. Marilla, in particular, has falsely accused her, and she's cut to the chase. This is a little bit of a plot spoiler, but it's just a little bit, because there's tons more. And she's cut to the chase. She's actually realizing that she's judging falsely, and as if she really had earned the right to be part of a family herself. She didn't realize, she had temporarily forgotten that even for her, it was by God's providence, it was a gift that she'd been in a family to begin with. And so, very penitent, they bring Anne back. There's this wonderful scene where they invite her into the foyer of the house where they've got the family Bible open. And Marilla says to Anne, she says, you know, speaking of names, because Anne's sort of fascinated with names, we wondered if you wanted to take our name. Anne doesn't quite track with what's happening. Says, this is your family Bible. Yes, we want you to write your name in the family Bible. You want me to be a Cuthbert, a real Cuthbert? And Matthew, normally quiet, doesn't say much. He says, I do. I want our name to belong to you. I want our name to belong to you. And she says, I'm going to belong? And you could see her heart just expanding because she's going to belong to a home. And it's going to be written in this book, which means it's real. And it's not going to change again. And she's going to have that home that she'd always wanted. Like there's some times later on where she still thinks, well, maybe I still have to earn it a little bit, but no, it's done. She has that home. And it's a gift. It's a pure gift. And it's shared by a couple of humble people who realized in their humility how much they had received, and so they shared. I think this is kind of the desire of the disciples when Jesus ascends. He's like, are you going to establish the kingdom of heaven? Now you're going to make home for us right here, right now? Are you going to do that? And Jesus says, it's not for you to know the time and the places, but you are going to receive the power of the Holy Spirit from on high. I want you to wait for him. And then you're going to bear witness to the kingdom. You're going to actually bear witness to the kingdom then. And they actually bear witness through what I would say is a very shaking situation. Most of them, possibly except John the Apostle, are martyred. So talk about being shaken. Talk about troubling experiences. And yet he's going to establish a kingdom that they'll bear witness to, and it will be so strong that they'll see that and they'll live from that reality even when stones are being thrown against them, like happened with Stephen. He actually sees Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and he's living in that reality and bearing witness to it with unshakable confidence. He's home. He's living from the reality of home because Jesus has gone before him, and that Spirit who confesses that you are home and you are my son or my daughter is alive in him and making him to know that he is home and that all the things that you try to do on your own, you don't need to try and do. And the disciples tried to do it. They tried to stay awake, didn't they? With Jesus, when he was in the garden, they fell asleep. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. Immediately, when he starts talking about going away, he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. I'm going to establish a home for you. If you understood that, there's plenty of places for you. There's a home for you. Don't be troubled. Let your heart not be troubled. I find it interesting that phrase, because it's kind of one of the phrases that often catches my attention. The Gospel of Luke in particular says that Mary said to the Spirit, let it be according to your will. And Jesus established his kingdom, first of all, in her very flesh. His home made out of her very flesh. His home for the first time here on earth. And then Jesus says, let it be according to your will. Here in the earth of my body as it is in heaven. He says that in the garden. Let it be. So he's saying, let it be. He's saying, let it be to the Father's will. As Mary said, to the Father's will. Let the kingdom be in your heart. Let it be. The world will say, let it be troubled, because everything is falling apart, and this is where you should be living from, and it's troubling. But Jesus has let it be rooted and grounded in my presence, in the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage us this morning to root ourselves in the kingdom that actually transcends trouble. I want to encourage us this morning to root ourselves in the kingdom that can transform our fear, our anger, our anxiety into confidence, into peace, and untrouble our lives and trouble our hearts and set a new tone in our home. I want to encourage us to enter into that. Mary, who'd been healed in so many ways, she's kind of like Anne, just getting a little bit of a taste of the home. Mary Magdalene, she sees Jesus in the garden, he's been resurrected, and she's clinging to him. And he says, don't cling to me, because I haven't yet ascended to the Father. Something better for you than even clinging to me. Something better for you than all of my teaching face to face, something better for you than even my miracles in your visible awareness, something better. And it's that I go to the Father so that you would have the kingdom come alive within you and that you would have a home in me even now through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says to the disciples, I want you to now cling to that kingdom. I want you to now pray with devotion that that kingdom would be so established in your heart that the Spirit would begin to move and to establish that kingdom in such a way that you are solid, but it's noisy everywhere around you, which is Pentecost. But it requires us to cling to Him in that way of prayer that we saw the disciples. With joy, they're like, He's ascended into heaven. Some kind of majesty is afoot here. Some kind of majesty that's so amazing and so above all these things that we're concerned about that they could with joy enter into a time of prayer together. So I would call us to enter into that time of prayer, especially between this week and next, as we seek the Lord in His home and the power from on high. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, we have been reminded of how tenuous life is here on earth by our brothers who are veteran. We know well that the kingdoms of this world and even the kingdoms of our homes and our own devices, they just often fall short. Even, Lord, government over our own bodies, like the disciples, it constantly falls short. We can't stay awake with you in prayer. And yet, Lord, we want to. We want to cling to you now. And so, Lord, we ask that you would stir up in us, especially this week, an ability to set our mind on those things that are above, where you are seated and where we actually dwell in the heavenly places. May we be rooted, Lord, in this kingdom. And by your Spirit, may it be confirmed and may it fill us up, overflow us, so that we are witnesses in clear and undeniable ways to your unshakable kingdom, where every tear is wiped away. We pray this in your holy name, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.